بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. الله سبحانه وتعالى only through his infinite mercy graced me with the ijazah of the hadith known as hadithur rahmah and hadithul musalsal bil awwaliyyah from prominent mashayikh of our time. And this hadith was read at the beginning of the dars so that the students of hadith can acquire the barakah of this hadith and the tasalsul of awwaliyyat can also continue. So I grant the students of hadith ijazah from me, as I have been granted ijazah by my mashayikh.
وأيامه المعروف في صحيح البخاري سماعا وقراعة الأساتذتنا الكرام الشيخ محسن كريم محمد والشيخ مولانا سليم زكريا والشيخ المفتي خليل علي حفظهم الله تعالى وأكرمهم في الدارين آمين. أخبرنا الشيخ المفتي كريم محمد قال أخبرنا الشيخ الحديث مولانا إنعام الله حفظه الله تعالى عن الشيخ سبحان محمود عن الشيخ خليل محمد الجالندري عن الشيخ محمود ياسين السرهندي قال أخبرنا الشيخ الهند العالم الكبير مولانا محمود الحسن الديوبندي رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الإمام الجليل الشيخ قاسم النابوتي قال والشيخ رشيد أحمد الجنجوري رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الشيخ عبد الغني المجددي قال أخبرنا الشيخ أبي سعيد والشيخ محمد إسحاق قال أخبرنا الشيخ عبد العزيز قال أخبرنا مسلم الهند العارف بالله أحمد بن عبد الرحيم المعروف بالشيخ ولي الله التهمي رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الشيخ أبي طالب محمد بن إبراهيم الكردي قال أخبرنا والدي الشيخ إبراهيم الكردي قال قرأت على الشيخ أحمد بن محمد الخشاشي قال أخبرنا الشيخ أحمد بن عبد القدوس الشناوي قال أخبرنا الشيخ شمس الدين محمد بن أحمد الرملي عن شيخ الإسلام أبي يحيى زكريا بن محمد الأنصاري قال قرأت على الشيخ الحافظ شهاب الدين أبي القبر أحمد علي بن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى عن الشيخ زين الدين إبراهيم بن أحمد التلوخي عن الشيخ أبي العباد أحمد بن أبي طالب الحجار عن الشيخ سراج الدين الحسين بن مبارك الزبيدي عن الشيخ أبي الوقت عبد الأول بن عيسى ابن شعيب السجدي الهوري عن الشيخ أبي الحسن عبد الرحمن بن مظفر ابن محمد بن داود داودي عن الشيخ أبي محمد عبد الله بن أحمد السراسي عن الشيخ أبي عبد الله محمد بن يوسف ابن مصر بن صالح بن بشر الفيرابي قال أخبرني الإمام الجليل الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة بن برزبة البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ومن تعالى بعلومه آمين. قال حدثنا أحمد بن إشكال قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن الخطاب عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حديثتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي رفع بالعلم أقدار العلماء واصطفاهم واجتباهم ورثة الأنبياء والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، باب قول الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم توزن. وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العاجل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. نروي الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه المعروف في صحيح البخاري سماعا وقراءة عن أساتذتنا الكرام الشيخ المفتي كريم محمد والشيخ مولانا سليم زكريا والشيخ المفتي خليل علي حفظهم الله تعالى وأكرمهم في الدارين آمين. أخبرنا الشيخ المفتي كريم محمد قال أخبرنا الشيخ الحديث مولانا إنعام الله حفظه الله تعالى عن الشيخ سبحان محمد
محمود عن الشيخ خير محمد الجالندري عن الشيخ محمود ياسين السرحندي قال أخبرنا شيخ الهند العالم الكبير مولانا محمود حسن الديوبندي رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الإمامان الجليلان الشيخ قاسم الناموتي والشيخ رشيد أحمد الغنبوهي رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الشيخ عبد الغني المجددي قال أخبرنا شاب أبي سعيد والشاب محمد إسحاق قال أخبرنا شاب عبد العزيز قال أخبرنا مسند الهند العارف بالله أحمد بن عبد الرحيم المعروف بالشاب ولي الله الدهلوي رحمه الله تعالى قال أخبرنا الشيخ أبي ظاهر محمد بن إبراهيم القردي قال أخبرنا والدي الشيخ إبراهيم القردي قال قرأت على الشيخ أحمد بن محمد الخشاشي قال أخبرنا الشيخ أحمد بن عبد القدوس الشناوي قال أخبرنا الشيخ شمس الدين محمد بن أحمد أبرملي عن الشيخ الإسلام أبي يحيى زكريا بن محمد الأنصاري قال قرأت على الشيخ الحافظ شهاب الدين أبي الفضل أحمد بن علي بن حجر الأصفهاني رحمه الله تعالى عن الشيخ زيد الدين إبراهيم بن أحمد الصنخي عن الشيخ أبي العباس أحمد بن أبي الطالب الحجار عن الشيخ سراج الدين الحسين بن المبارك الزبيدي عن الشيخ أبي الوقت عبد الأول بن عيسى بن شعيب السجزي القروي عن الشيخ أبي الحسن عبد الرحمن بن مظفر بن محمد الداودي عن الشيخ أبي محمد عبد الله بن أحمد السراقسي عن الشيخ أبي عبد الله محمد بن يوسف بن مطر بن صالح بن بشر الفيرابوري قال أخبرني الإمام الجليل الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المضيرة بن دردسبة البخاري رحمه الله تعالى ومتعنا بعلومه آمين قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشتب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
I was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif, riwayatan and dirayatan, from my respected and beloved teacher, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana اسلام الحق صاحب رحمه الله تعالى. Who was favored by Allah سبحانه وتعالى to have studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif رواية and دراية from the Grand Mufti of India, Hazrat Mufti Kifayatullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was the student of the great Shaykhul Hind, Hazrat Mawlana Mahmood Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was the student of Qasimul Ulum wal Khairat, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Nanutwi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who was the student of Shaykh Abdul Ghani Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, who was the student of Shah Muhammad Ishaq rahimahullah ta'ala, who was the student of Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala, and who was the student of his father Musnadul Hind Shah Waliullah Sayyid Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala. And the chain from Shah Waliullah Sayyid Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala to Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is available in the Thabat al-Yani'ul Jani and also in the Muqaddama of Al-Lami', and which we have heard from our dear students. And in the Sanad from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, the chain from Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is found in the Sahih al-Bukhari itself before every hadith. This is the last chapter of Bukhari Sharif. Babun Qawlullahi وَنَذَأُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ. The last book of Bukhari Sharif, according to Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, is Kitabul I'tisam bil Kitabi wa Sunnah. So Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins his book with Kitabul Iman. And after Kitabul Iman, he brings the kitab, Kitabul Ilm. And after Kitabul Ilm, he begins Tahara with Kitabul Wudu. So Imam Bukhari begins the book with Kitabul Iman. And the first bab, Babun Kayfa Kana Badul Wahi ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is a muqaddima. Because the first thing one needs to establish is the risalah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Under Kitabul Iman, we find various ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under Kitabul Iman again, we find scores of ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then comes Kitabul Wudu, Kitabul Ghusl, and Kitab after Kitab, under which we find nothing but the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The aqwal of sahaba here and there, aqwal of tabi'in here and there, are not the objective of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The objective of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala are the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has conveyed approximately 7,000 ahadith to the Ummah through Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Jami, Al-Musnad, Al-Sahih, Al-Mukhtasar min Umuri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sunanihi, ay wa sunani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وأيامه أي وأيام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the objective is أمور الرسول, سنن الرسول, أيام الرسول. And through these approximately 7,000 ahadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala endeavors to establish so many deeni aspects related to aqaid, related to ibadat, related to muamalat, related to muasharat, and related to akhlaq-e hasana, that they can only be established if the risala, the messengership, and the nubuwa, the apostleship, and the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is established. And a Rasul becomes a Rasul, a Nabi becomes a Nabi as a result of wahi, revelation. So as soon as this fact is established, that this personality is Sahibul Wahi, he is a person upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed something. As soon as this fact is established, then automatically, this fact is established that he is the Nabi of Allah, he is the Rasul of Allah. And once this fact is established that he is the Rasul of Allah, he is the Nabi of Allah, then automatically it means, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he says is wahy, and it has to be followed. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So through the مُقَدِّمَة, كيف كان بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقول الله إنا أوحينا إليك كما أوحينا إلى نوح والنبيين من بعده. Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى establishes the رسالة and the نبوة of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. He verifies that the being, the personality, the person whose ahadith I am going to quote in this book from Kitab al-Iman until the end is the Rasul of Allah, is the Nabi of Allah. And if he is the Rasul of Allah and he is the Nabi of Allah, then whatever he says and whatever he does is wahy. And once wahy is established, it becomes incumbent upon the ummah to follow. It's a very unique method of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, which we will not find with any other muhaddith. كَيْفَ كَانَ بَدْءُ الْوَحْيِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. إِنَّا أُحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, we have revealed to you, كَمَا أُحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ, just as we had revealed to Nuh, وَالنَّبِيِّنَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, and the other anbiya after him. So you are the Nabi of Allah. So Bad'ul Wahy is a muqaddimah. It is to establish and verify the nubuwah and risalah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once that is verified, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala establishes the masail of aqaid, Kitabul Iman, through his ahadith, through the ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because now anything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is dalil. It is proof now, because he is the Nabi of Allah. Then in Kitab al-Iman, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala establishes so many adab of ilm through the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because his hadith is dalil now. And then he establishes the masail of wudu, masail of ghusl, masail of hayd, masail of salat, masail of zakat, masail of sawm, masail related to ibadat, معاملات، معاشرت، اخلاق، دی ہول لائف آف اے ہیومن فرام برتھ ٹو ڈیتھ. ہی اسٹیبلشز all the masail through the ahadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because now we have accepted that whatever he says is wahy, therefore whatever he says is dalil. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala says that the last kitab of Bukhari Sharif is Kitabul I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah. And as far as Kitab al-Radd al-Jahmiyyah is concerned, the Kitab after Kitab al-I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah, Kitab al-Radd al-Jahmiyyah or Kitab al-Tawheed, it is the tatimma of Kitab al-I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah. It is part of Kitab al-I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah. It is not a mustaqil Kitab. And Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala says that by ending Sahih al-Bukhari with Kitab al-I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is telling the readers, he is encouraging the readers to hold fast to Kitabullah and Sunnati Rasul. Al-I'tisam, holding fast bil kitab to the kitabullah, wa sunnah and the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is drawing our attention towards the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taraktu feekum ma in tamassattum bihi lan tadillu ba'di abada. I am leaving amongst you those items which if you hold fast to, you will never go astray. And what are those things? Kitabullahi wa sunnati, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my sunnah. So Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala is of the opinion that the last kitab is not Kitab al-Tawheed. The last kitab is not Kitab al-Radd al-Jahmiyyah. The last kitab is Kitab al-I'tisam bil Kitab wa Sunnah, the kitab of holding fast to Kitabullah and Sunnat Rasul. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is encouraging all of us, the readers, the teachers, the readers, the listeners, to hold fast to Kitabullah and Sunnat Rasul. Because one who holds fast to Kitabullah and Sunnat Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the success in this world and in the hereafter. But the opinion of the general commentators of Bukhari Sharif, Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Aini rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Qastalani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Kirmani rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama ibn Battal rahimahullahu ta'ala, the general commentators, their opinion is that the last kitab is Kitab al-Tawheed. And the last kitab is Kitab al-Tawheed or Kitab al-Radd al-Jahmiyyah. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with Iman and ends with Iman. Kitab al-Iman and Kitab al-Tawheed, again Iman. So he initiates the kitab with Iman and he ends the kitab with Iman. And the message he desires to give to the readers, the teachers and the listeners is that once you have accepted Iman, then in order to reap the fruits in the hereafter, you have to hold fast to this Iman until you breathe your last, until the end. So your life should begin with Iman and that Iman should continue until the end. Until Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Because Kitab al-Tawheed ends at Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. And the last chapter of Bukhari Sharif, last chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, Kitab al-Raddi al-Jahmiyyah is قوله ونذو الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى, as per his habit, is establishing a مسألة through this chapter. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is saying that on the day of Qiyamah, the amal and the aqwal, the deeds and the words of the Banu Adam will be weighed. So on the day of Qiyamah, mizan will be placed. Wanadawul mawazin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will establish the mawazin. We will establish the mawazin, the scales. We will establish the scales on the day of Qiyamah. وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah Ma'ini Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, Lam here is bimana fi. So, وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, we will establish the scale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of using the singular word wanadaul mizan, He uses the plural wanadaul mawazin. We will establish scales on the day of Qiyamah. Scales, not one scale, wanadaul mawazin. One opinion of the Mufassirin is that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has used the plural instead of singular because mizan will only be one. Scale will only be one. According to one opinion of the Mufassirin, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of using the singular word scale, says scales for tafkhiman lishan, to show the grandeur and the greatness of the scale of the day of Qiyamah. It will be one scale only, but it will be so large, so big, that it will equal to thousands of scales. Allama Abul Hasan Al-Lalkai rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates a hadith of Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Yuzawul Mizan, the scale will be established. The scale will be stationed on the day of Qiyamah to weigh our amal. Yudawul mizan walahu kiffatan, it will have two pans. In one pan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the good amal. In the other pan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the evil amal, the bad deeds. Good deeds in one pan and bad deeds in the other pan. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Yudawul mizan, mizan will be established, mizan will be stationed. Walahu kiffatan, it will have two pans. Lawwudiyat fi ihdahuma as-samawatu wal-ardu wa man fihin. If the heavens and the earth and whatever they contain was placed in just one pan, lawasiyatuhunna, it will suffice. One pan will be so large that even after placing the seven heavens, the earth and whatever they contain, there will still remain place in that pan. So if one pan is this large, imagine the size of the two pans put together and then the whole scale. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ, He does not mean that we will establish many scales. He means we will establish a great scale. وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ. Al-Qis أي للقسط for justice. ليوم القيامة أي في يوم القيامة on the day of قيامة. وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. And the deeds of Banu Adam and the Aqwal, the sayings of Banu Adam will be weighed. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is refuting the Mu'tazila who are of the opinion that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention Mizan, the scale, or mention Kifatan, the pans, or when they mention the weighing of the amal, wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq, it is not in its literal sense, it is in its metaphorical sense. The meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show justice on the day of Qiyamah. Allah does not need to weigh anything. He is fully aware of what a person has done, how much good he has done, how much bad he has done. Allah does not have to weigh to find out who stands where. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal waznu yawma idhin al-haq, that weighing of the amal is definite on the day of Qiyamah, it means justice will be done. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will place, we will establish mizan, the scale, on the day of Qiyamah, it means we will establish justice. I will deal with each and every human with justice. The aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the light of the Quran and Ahadith is that on the day of Qiyamah there will be mizan, there will be a scale. All these verses of the glorious Quran that relate to the mizan and all the Ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that relate to mizan are in its literal sense. There will be a mizan, the mizan will have two pans, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the angels to actually weigh the amal. Good deeds will be placed in one scale, one pan, and bad deeds will be placed in another pan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually weigh the amal. And all people will be able to witness the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala here is refuting the ideology of the Mu'tazila, and he is establishing the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that on the day of Qiyamah Allah says وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ, we will establish the great scale on the day of Qiyamah for justice, and the amal and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed. And as a result of this weighing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will retribute. So the retribution will take place as a result of this weighing. Once the amal are weighed, if the scale containing the good amal outweighs the scale containing the bad amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will retribute this person with Jannah. And if the pan containing the evil deeds outweigh the pan containing the good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will retribute and punish this person with Jahannam. So the result and the samarat, or the samarat and the results of our amal will be granted to us on the day of Qiyamah. This is the gist of this Tarjamatul Bab. This is the gist of what Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is establishing here. Now if we go right at the beginning of Bukhari Sharif, then the first chapter is regarding Wahy. Babun kayfa kana badul wahy ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is through Wahy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals ilm. And it is through ilm we learn what to do and what not to do. So why revelation is basically ilm. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with ilm. He begins the book with ilm. And he concludes the book with weighing of the amal. What is the connection between the two bab? What is the connection between the two chapters? The connection between the two chapters is that for any amal, for any deed, for any action, there is a mabda and there is a muntaha. Mabda is the beginning and muntaha is the end result. Any amal that we carry out, there is mabda, the beginning. Beginning. What is the beginning of any action that we carry out? Ilm and niyyah. A person will only be able to carry out an amal if he has the ilm of that amal. A person does not know that something like tahajjud exists. He doesn't have the knowledge of tahajjud. He doesn't know that there is a nafal salat called tahajjud which is performed before dawn. He doesn't have this knowledge. So if he doesn't have the knowledge, he cannot make intention of carrying out that amal. So the mabda, the beginning of any amal, is ilm first and after ilm intention. Alhamdulillah, we all have the knowledge of tahajjud, but we don't make intention of tahajjud. And because we don't make intention of tahajjud, we cannot carry out that amal. So every amal has a mabda, beginning. And the beginning is ilm and niyyah. And every amal has muntaha. What is the muntaha? Muntaha is the result of that amal. Result of that amal. A person has the knowledge of business, trade. And he makes the intention of going into business and trading. So that is the mabda, beginning. Knowledge and intention. Thereafter, the amal of business comes into existence. The amal of trade. He trades. He trades throughout the year. And at the end of the year, muntaha. The natija, the result, the thamara of this amal. Profit or loss, that is the muntaha. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala from Kitabul Iman until the end of the book has mentioned nothing but amal, amal, amal. This is what you need to do, this is what you cannot do. This is what you need to do, this is what you cannot do. This is what you need to do, this is what you cannot do. This is what you need to do, this is what you cannot. Iman. You have to accept Iman. Then Kitabur Raddi Alal Jahmiya, in Iman you cannot include this, you cannot include this, you cannot include this, otherwise your Iman will become void. Do's and don'ts, Amal. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned Amal. Beginning from where? From Kitabul Iman, until the end of the book. And right at the beginning, what does he mention? Wahy. Wahy is ilm. And under that chapter, the very first hadith he mentions is innamal amalu bin niyyat. So he begins the book with the mabda of amal. Amal, ilm and niyyat. And he asks the reader to acquire ilm from Kitabul Iman until the end, and also make the niyyah of following it. He is encouraging the reader to acquire ilm, because ilm is the beginning of amal. Without ilm you will not be able to practice. So Imam Bukhari is encouraging the students that for you to reap the fruits of the hereafter, which is the muntaha, which is the end, you need to acquire ilm. So start reading this book. And don't only read the book, whilst reading the book have the intention of practicing. So Imam Bukhari begins the book with the mabda. And what is the mabda? Ilm and niyyat. Ilm and resolution. Ilm and determination. Ilm and intention. And thereafter he mentions all the amal. Amal, this amal, this amal, this amal, do, 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 don't, don't, don't. He mentions all the do's and the don'ts. related to the aqaid, related to ibadat, related to muamalat, related to muashara, related to akhlaq. And after completing all the amal, now he mentions the muntaha. He mentions the muntaha, that I have asked you to study this book carefully and practice whatever you have learned. Because the day is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to weigh your amal. If you have followed the do's and abstained from the don'ts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you Jannah. And if you did the opposite, if you did the opposite, that you did not follow the do's and you did not abstain from the don'ts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive you of Jannah. So this is the connection with the first bab and the last bab. That in the first bab, right at the beginning, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions the mabda of the beginning of amal. And in the last bab, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentions the result, the natija and the samara of the amal. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi further mentions a hadith to establish that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will literally weigh our amal. And in order to establish that, he brings the dalil, the proof. And the dalil and the proof is the saying of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because his prophethood has been established right at the beginning. Imam Bukhari says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kalimatane habibatane ilar rahman. There are two sentences. In the Arabic language, sometimes kalima, kalima means word. Kalima is taken to mean a sentence. Here, kalimatane. When we say kalima tayyiba, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the whole sentence is kalima tayyiba, not only one word. See, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, kalimatane, there are two sentences. Habibatane ilar rahman, beloved to Rahman ta'ala. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Khafifatane alal lisan, we light on the tongue. Very easy to utter. Not a single letter which is difficult to pronounce, which is difficult to utter, which is difficult to speak. Very, very light on the tongue. Sakilatane fil mizan, but heavy in the scale. Imam Bukhari says that these two sentences will be heavy in the scale. That means whatever we say and whatever we do will be put in the scale. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not to put our aqwal and our a'mal in the mizan, then how come subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim will be very heavy in the mizan? That means subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim will be put in the mizan and the mizan will become very heavy. The right hand side fan in which good amal will be weighed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, kalimatane, there are two sentences, beloved to Rahman ta'ala, khafifatane alal lisan, light on the tongue. They are light on the tongue. Saqilatane fil mizan, heavy in the mizan. What are these two sentences? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim is mubtada. And kalimatani habibatani ila rahman, khafifatani ala lisan, saqilatani fil mizan is khabar. And we have learnt in Nahu that mubtada comes first and khabar follows mubtada. We don't normally say qaimun zaidun, we say zaidun qaimun. So subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim is mubtada. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, kalimatane, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim are two sentences. Khafifatani ala al-lisan, which are Habibatani ala al-Rahman, which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. Khafifatani ala al-lisan, which are light on the tongue. Saqilatani fil mizan, which are heavy in the mizan. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the khabar first. Kalimatani, Habibatani ala al-Rahman, there are two sentences. Which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, light on the tongue, heavy in the mizan and scale. And thereafter he mentions Mubtada, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Why? The reason is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was the best teacher that this world has seen. There is no better teacher than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, kalimatani habibatani ilal Rahman, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. And when this fell, when this was to fall in our ears, that beloved to Rahman ta'ala, we would have started looking at each other, what is beloved to Rahman ta'ala? We've missed Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Many a times, we are not so attentive. We are looking here and there. We are daydreaming. And suddenly we hear an important sentence falling in our ears and we wake up. And we say, what is he talking about? So this sahaba would have missed Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. They would have only heard that there is something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned which is beloved to Rahman ta'ala and which is light on the tongue and which is heavy in the mizan. They would have had to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you talking about? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preparing the sahaba and he is drawing their attention full 100%. And he is mentioning three qualities regarding these two sentences. He is saying, Habibat Kalimatan. There are two sentences. Habibatan ilal Rahman. So 75% of the people are awake. There are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. What are these two sentences? Full attention, 75%. Khafifatan ilal Lisan, very light on the tongue. So another 20% full attention. And then he says, Saqilatani fil mizan. The most negligent 5% are already with full attention now. The whole gathering is ready to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly what he desires to teach. What are these two sentences that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching? And thereafter he said, when everybody is receptive, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Kalimatan, two sentences. Habibatan ila Rahman, they are beloved to Rahman. And because these two sentences are beloved to Rahman, the one who holds these two sentences dear, and he gives these two sentences place in his heart and on his tongue, then he will also become dear. He will also become beloved. The jewelry box, when it is empty, is not valuable. The jewelry box, nobody looks after the jewelry box once it's empty. But if that cheap jewelry box, which may cost only $1 or 50 cents, if it has the jewelry in it, then a person will safeguard that box as much as he would safeguard the jewelry. For as long as the jewelry is in the jewelry box is as much precious. These two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. So if a person gives these two sentences place in his heart and on his tongue, then this whole body will become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كلمتان حبيبتان الى الرحمن two sentences beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. Now as soon as you hear this that there are two sentences which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala, and if they are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala, then if we give it place in our heart, place on our tongue, we will also become beloved to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then the thought process is, these two sentences must be very, very difficult. Because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala rewards a person according to his efforts. So if these two sentences make a person beloved to Allah, then they must be very, very difficult. So I want to become the beloved of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala by giving place to these sentences in my heart or on my tongue, but how can I? It's too difficult. So immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَفِيفَتَانِ عَلَى الْلِسَانِ. They will make you beloved in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but don't worry, they are very easy on the tongue. So the thought process will be, if they are easy on the tongue, then the reward will be very light in the mizan. So what's the point? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, light on the tongue, but saqilatani fil mizan, heavy in the mizan. Very heavy on the day of Qiyamah. And what are these two sentences? All of you recite with me. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Why are these two very short sentences very heavy in the mizan? Why? The reason is these two sentences contain the maqamat of uluhiyyat. I am concluding now. I am trying to make it as simple as possible. But with my poor English, it's a bit difficult. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned maqamat of uluhiyyat in these two sentences. Maqamat of uluhiyyat, stages of divinity. If any being claims to be ilah, if any being claims to be deity, God, then in order to verify its claim, you have to go through four stages. The first stage is the stage of tanzih. The second stage is the stage of tanbih. The third stage is the stage of tamjeed. And then comes the final and the fourth stage, the stage of tawheed. A person cannot claim to be on the stage of tawheed, that there is none like me. La ilaha. There is none like me. Allah says, La ilaha illa ana. There is no ilah except me. You can only claim that if you pass through the first three stages. Tanzih, tanweeh and tamjeed. The first stage is tanzih. Maqam-e-tanzih, the stage of tanzih. What is the stage of tanzih? First check. First check is that the being, the person claiming to be ilah, claiming to be God, claiming to be worthy of worship, has to be pure from every fault. Every fault. Not a minute fault should exist in him. Then only he can go on to the second stage. Tanzih. Tanzih. Pure from all faults. Thereafter what do you check? Tanweeh. He encompasses all the good attributes. He is the embodiment of all excellencies. So the first check is he pure from all faults? Yes, he is pure from all faults. Second check, Is he an embodiment of all excellencies? Yes, embodiment of all excellencies. Anyone claiming to be deity or God or Ilah will fail in the first check, because he will not be pure from all faults. He will not even go to the second stage. But these are the four stages of Uluhiyat. First stage, is he pure from all faults or not? Maqam-e Tanzih. Second, is he an embodiment of all excellencies? Thereafter, Tamjeed. Is he the best and the greatest? Is he the best and the greatest? If these three stages are verified, that yes, this being is pure from all faults, this being is an embodiment of all excellencies, and this being is the best and the greatest, then the heart and the tongue will automatically say, La ilaha illallah. Tawheed will automatically come. He has to be La ilaha illallah. He has to be. In these two sentences we find these maqamat of uluhiyyat. Why? Because in order to express the tanzih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us tasbih. Subhanallah. Allah is pure from all faults. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says, Subhanallah means, Usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqaisi kulliha. I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults. So for tanzih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us tasbih. And for tanwih, to declare that this being is an embodiment of all excellencies, Allah has granted us tahmid, alhamdulillah. And for tamjid, maqam-e tamjid, that he is the best and he is the greatest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us takbir. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And for tawheed, to declare tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us tahleel. La ilaha illallah. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَأَنْ أَقُولَ. For me to say, لَأَنْ أَقُولَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that for me to say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا تَلَاتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ, is more beloved to me than the whole universe. Why? Because Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. They contain the four stages of uluhiyat. The more a person recites Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar and La ilaha illallah, the more the tanzih will progress in his heart, the more the tanwih will progress in his heart, the more the tamjid will progress in his heart, and the more the tawheed will progress in his heart. And the more these four stages of uluhiyat progresses, the more the chances of dying with La ilaha illallah on the tongue. For tanzih subhanallah, for tanwih alhamdulillah, for tamjid Allahu Akbar, and for tawheed La ilaha illallah. Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahabbul kalami ilallahi arba'un. The most beloved sentences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are four. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allah, wallahu akbar, wa la ilaha illallah. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it does not matter with which you start. In any order you can recite the four words. Four sentences. Why are they the most beloved? Because they contain the four stages of Uluhiyat. Why are these two sentences very, very weighty? Because they contain the stages of Uluhiyat. Subhanallah is Tanzih. وَبِحَمْدِهِ أي وَأُسْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِحَمْدِهِ I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is Tanzih. Subhanallah is Tanzih. وَبِحَمْدِهِ is Tanzih. And Subhanallah al-Azim, Azim, the greatest and the best. That is Tamjeed. And once Tanzih, Tanweeh, and Tamjeed is established, then Iqtiba'an, Tawheed is established. So in reality, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is concluding his book on La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. These two sentences convey the three maqam of uluhiyat, and if these three maqamat are established, then automatically tawheed will come. La ilaha illallah. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, by concluding his Sahih al-Bukhari with La ilaha illallah, is taking a good omen that the one who will study this book properly with good intention and will practice and propagate, when he will breathe his last, he will also go from this world with La ilaha illallah. So my friends, I urge all of you to make a few resolutions. Resolution number one, inshallah daily, we will read Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar at least 100 times. We will also read Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim at least 100 times. And number 3, we will acquire as much ilm as possible, because that is the mabda, that is the beginning of any success. We will acquire as much ilm as possible with a good intention, with an intention to please Allah by practicing what we are learning. So we will acquire as much ilm as possible through authentic sources, by sitting in the company of reliable ulama whose chain reaches our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam through authentic sources. Not from anybody, not from Google. From ulama, whose authenticity we are aware of. Because remember, ilm is deen. So if ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen is incorrect. If ilm is complete, deen is complete. If ilm is incomplete, deen is incomplete. So we need to increase our ilm, so our ilm becomes complete, and as a result our deen becomes complete. And we need to acquire ilm through authentic sources. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala quotes this saying, "Inna hadhal ilma deenun," this ilm is deen. "Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum," be very careful from whom you take your deen. Because if you take your deen from somebody who does not have a chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are so many books in the English language. A person may just choose to study Islam himself, and he may become a lecturer, and he may be witty, clever, crafty. So he will pose himself as a great scholar. And majority of the people these days don't have ilm. So now he is seen as a scholar, but he has not learnt ilm or deen from anybody. So he does not have a chain. If there is no chain, then he is not an alim. Without a chain, you cannot be an alim. Even if you have the most knowledge in the world, you cannot be an alim without a chain. And if your chain is weak, your ilm is weak. If your chain is sound, your ilm is sound. Muslim Sharif contains a hadith. Abu Dawud Sharif contains a hadith. Tirmidhi Sharif contains a hadith. Why is Bukhari Sharif the most authentic book? because of the chain, not because of the hadith. Everything depends on the chain. See, if we have a scholar who does not have a chain, there are so many scholars on the YouTube who have become scholars by their own study. They don't have a chain. So if they don't have a chain, they are not scholars. You may have the best doctor in Trinidad, and you may say to me that he is the best doctor in Trinidad, but the only problem is he has not studied in any university. Will I want to be treated by that doctor? No, of course not. We need a chain. A person who has a certificate from a university, a doctor who has a certificate from a university, that is a sign that he has a chain. Because the person who taught him can only become a lecturer in a university if he also has a certificate. And it carries on. Without a certificate, without a chain, we don't accept anybody's authority. Doctor, architect, engineer, lawyer, teacher. Why only in matters of deen we take deen from anybody? Without verifying his authenticity, his position, his status. So a person who does not have a chain is not a scholar. He does not have ilm. Despite having ilm, he does not have ilm. Because his ilm could be dangerous. And a person whose chain is not authentic, his ilm is not authentic. A person whose chain is authentic, his ilm is authentic. So we need to learn ilm. Ilm. Ilm is the beginning of success, because it is the beginning of amal. So we need ilm. Do's and don'ts. Do's, and thereafter, the resolution. That I am learning with the intention of following the do's and abstaining from the don'ts. And this resolution, determination should be followed by our actions. And if this determination is followed by our action, then one of the mawazin al-qist, when the scale will be established on the day of Qiyamah, the pan containing our good amal will very quickly outweigh the pan containing bad amal, evil deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. As far as the students are concerned, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your whole life mubarak by granting you the tawfiq to continue studying deen until you breathe your last. From today you are students. Until now, for the past 5 years, 6 years, you are learning how to become students. Who is a student? Who is a talibul ilm? The one who seeks knowledge. You are not seeking knowledge until now. No, you are learning from your teachers daily how to seek knowledge. You were not able to seek knowledge on your own. That's why you had to sit with your teachers. When you graduate, you do not graduate as a scholar. The certificate you are given is not to certify that you have become a scholar today, no. The certificate you are given today is that today you have become a student. Now without the supervision of your teachers you can study, because you know how to study now. You know how to seek ilm. So from today, your responsibility is to continue learning and simultaneously teaching. Learning, teaching, learning, teaching, learning, teaching. During the time of our pious predecessors, the likes of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, there were no graduation ceremonies. No graduation ceremonies. A student would study, 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 and when he became a talibul ilm, then his teacher would say, you can become independent now. Go. You seek knowledge yourself now. Study the ahadith, study the Quran, you know the principles now, you know how to study. You will not sleep now. So they would become independent. And becoming independent means, now I am able to teach other people, but I am still a student, So I will continue studying and acquiring ilm until I breathe my last, and simultaneously I will continue teaching. The mistake we make is that when we graduate, we cease to become students. We only refer to books if we have to give a lecture in a masjid. We only refer to books if we have to teach at a madrasa in a darulum. And we only study that book which we are teaching. Our pious predecessors, they remained after graduation, they remained students and teachers until they breathed their last. And the zeal was, whilst my elders are around me, I want to take as much as possible from them, and I want to spend time on my juniors and give them as much as I can before I breathe my last. So before my seniors breathe their last, I want to import as much as possible. And at the same time, only Allah knows who may leave this world first. So before I leave, I want to impart that knowledge which I have imported to my juniors. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala was once seen by somebody with a notebook, with papers, with ink pot and with a pen during his old age. So he said, Ila mata ibn Hanbal, when are you going to retire ibn Hanbal? You are still learning and teaching, learning and teaching, learning. When are you going to retire? So he said, he picked up his ink pot and he said, ma al mihbarati ila al maqbarati. He said that with this ink pot I will go to the qabrastan, to the graveyard. This learning and teaching will continue. Imam Ibrahim ibn Jarrah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that I came to know that my teacher Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala is unwell. So I went to visit him. He said, when I went to visit him, I found him unconscious. So I sat beside his bed. And after a few moments, he came around and he saw me. And he said, as soon as he saw me, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, how are you, alhamdulillah. He posed a question to me. And this is minutes before passing away. Minutes before passing away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this unquenching thirst of acquiring ilm and passing on the ilm. Acquiring ilm and passing on the ilm. He said, which method of Rami is more virtuous? He asked this question, Imam Abu Yusuf. He is on his deathbed and this is only 5 minutes before his ruh and soul departed. 5 minutes before. And he is asking this very delicate question. Which method of Rami is afzal? Which method of Rami is more virtuous? While standing on foot or whilst riding a camel? So Ibrahim ibn Jarrah rahimahullah ta'ala says, I thought for a moment and I gave the answer. Either of the two. He may have said on foot or he may have said while sitting on the camel. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah said, Akhtat, you have made an error. Incorrect. So he said, I had another choice. So I said, then if not whilst on the camel, then whilst on the foot. So he said, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah again said, Akhtat, you have made an error. And then he explained. He said, any Rami that is followed by another Rami, it is more virtuous to do it whilst you are standing on your foot. And that Rami after which there is no Rami, it is more virtuous to do it whilst you are on a camel. So on the 10th of Zulhijjah, when you pelt only the large shaitan, there is no Rami after that. So you go on the camel, pelt and go away. And on the second day and the third day and the fourth day, when you pelt the first shaitan, the small shaitan, there is a Rami after that. So you do it while standing on the ground. Then when you go and pelt the middle shaitan, it is followed by another Rami, so again you stand on the ground and pelt. And then when you go into the big shaitan, there is no Rami after that, so you get onto the camel and then you pelt. Ibrahim ibn Jarrah rahimahullah ta'ala said that after this heavy and delicate discussion, I thought it is best to let him rest. So he said, please excuse me and give me leave. He said, okay, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. He said, when I had reached the door of the house, I heard people crying in the house that Imam Abu Yusuf has passed away. Imam Abu Yusuf has passed away. Where is this zeal one now? Where is this zeal? So my dear students, I am also a student like you. First I am speaking to myself because I am in the same boat. We have all become lazy. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is concealing our faults, and despite our unworthiness, people see us as ulama and they say to us, Maulana Sahib, Sheikh Sahib, Hazrat. We don't deserve these titles. Well, at least I don't. I know for myself, I know I don't deserve these titles. When in seclusion, when I am sitting sometimes and when I think to myself that people revere me, people flock towards me, people stand in line to shake hands with me, and on the day of Qiyamah, when they will see my hollowness, how will I show them my face? Oh, this is that same Sheikh, this is that same Maulana who used to stand up in respect, and this is same Maulana. How will we show our face to the people? Let us make a firm resolution today, my friend, myself also, that inshallah we will become talibul ilm, and we will remain talibul ilm until we breathe our last. In the initial stages, it's like the qahwa, the Arabic qahwa. Those people who go in the month of Ramadan for Umrah, the very first day when they taste that qahwa, very bitter. But if they continue consuming that qahwa 7, 8, 10, 15 times, then at the time of iftar, if they find themselves on a dastarkhan where there is no qahwa, then they start looking for qahwa. This ilm is the same. In the initial stages, it's bitter. Always keep a book in your handbag. When you're traveling, when you are in the car, and whenever you get the opportunity, just read through one page, two pages, whether you are able to remember or not, don't worry. Allah will look at your zeal and He will enlighten your heart and mind with the knowledge of Nubuwwah, inshallah. And with this, we need to practice. We need to practice. So acquire as much ilm as possible. Practice. Because Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, حَتَفَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ. If I go to Maulana Nazim's house, and if I knock at the door, and if I say, Maulana Nazim, it's me, Salim. No answer. Maulana Nazim, it's me, Salim. No answer. Maulana Nazim, it's me, Salim. Can you open the door? No answer. So I call Maulana Nazim. If Maulana Nazim does not respond, then I go away. I don't stay there. But if I knock at the door and say, Maulana Nazim, it's me, Salim, and Maulana Nazim opens the door, I will go inside and stay with Maulana Nazim for 1 hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours. Ali radiallahu anhu says, Hatafal ilm bil amal. Ilm knocks at the door of amal and calls amal. Oh, amal, come. Amal, come. Amal, come. Wain ajaba, if amal replies, then the ilm stays with the person. وَإِلَّا فَرْتَحَلْ. But if amal does not respond and amal does not come to that ilm, then that ilm goes away. There are so many of us who have learnt certain supplications when we were in the maktab. For example, before you begin eating, you say Bismillahi wa barakatillah. We know this prayer. Why? Because before we eat, we say Bismillahi wa barakatillah. And some of us have forgotten the dua for when we wake up in the morning. Why? Because we don't. This is ilm. Ilm calls amal, and if amal does not respond, then ilm goes away. So study as much as you can. Force yourself to study. Allocate time for study. In order to study, one should not be in need of a madrasa that if I am appointed as a lecturer, then only I will study. No. whether I am appointed or not. I am a talibul ilm, I have to study. And I don't study for ummah only, I study for myself. I will study and practice. And in order to propagate, I don't have to be in a madrasa, I can propagate anywhere. I don't have to be on the mimbar. I can propagate, I can talk to my wife about what I have learned. I can talk to my children, my friends. Acquire ilm and practice. 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 The muhaddithin say, kunna nasta'inu ala hifzi al-hadith bil-amal. We used to take help of amal in order to memorize the hadith. So when we memorize it, when we practice something, then we know that this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. We won't forget. And after that, ilm, amal. When you have ilm, you don't fear anybody because you know what you are talking. You talk with basirat. You will not fear anybody. And when you have amal, you have ilm but not amal, you will still fear. That I am correct. I am correct. I know I am correct. But I don't know whether I will be able to win in this situation or not because there is lot of opposition, this, that. If amal is there, then you know that Allah is with me. So you will never fear. Ilm and amal, both. And with ilm and amal, propagation. Teaching the ummah, teaching the family, teaching the children, teaching the neighbors, teaching the friends, teaching the Muslims, teaching the non-Muslims, teaching everybody. Remember my dear students, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say, لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرَّ. That person does not deserve the title of an alim who can differentiate between wrong and right, who can differentiate between khair and shar. He does not deserve the title of an alim. وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي, who deserves the title of an alim? وَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ. He recognizes khair, فَيَتَّبِيُهُ, and he follows that khair. وَيَعْرِفُ الشَّرُ, who recognizes shar, وَيَجْتَنِبُهُ, and who abstains from that shar, who stays away from it. He is the real alim. The other is alim by name only. This is the true alim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the madrasa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten you both, enlighten the other graduates of this madrasa, enlighten all the asatiza and the teachers and myself with the uloom and also the noor of the uloom. And may Allah adorn our lives with this ilm, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilize us for the service of this ilm that was revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وقال مجاهد القسطاس الأدل بالرومية ويقال والقسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال حدثنا عمد بن أشقاب قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاع نبي زرة نبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الخلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس
بالعالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء، وبرد العيش بعد الموت، ولذة النظر إلى وجهك، والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم، واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا، وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا، وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار، واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جنات النعيم. اللهم إنا نسألك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى، ومن العمل ما ترضى. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين الذين لا يخافون فيك لومة لائم. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وأشاكك وأشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله. اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رحمن.